Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that is Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Very well, relaxed.
Oh, good, good.
There's some building works going on downstairs, and they've been suspended for an hour, so I can hear your dulcet tones without interruption.
Well, I very much appreciate that, KB. Really appreciate it. Let's start, as we always do, with Leeds United. They've started on pre-season. Couple of wins. Win again last night against North Ferriby. And the signings continue to come as well. They're up to, I think, seven new signings so far this summer.
Yeah, well, I've read the comment on the team selection for the pre-season matches. And, of course, you're doing it absolutely right because, I mean, he's pre-season games against non-league opposition, pretty meaningless anyway. But it does give everybody, by putting two teams out, one for each half, does give everybody a chance to shine and demonstrate in full what they can and can't do. And it also makes them all feel part of part of the squad, part of the family, so to speak. And also keeps them all the players guessing, because there's no indication as to who's going to be first choice yet. So they're encouraged to try their hardest and prove their point. And there's only one way to be picked for the team, that is prove you're better than your competition. And that, I think, is the challenge, and it's so far looking successful.
Yeah, it certainly is, KB. And talking of success, that the Premier League released some reports yesterday through Deloitte. And it looks like, obviously the TV earnings have helped the Premier League club's revenues rise 9% in 2015-2016 to a record £3.6 billion. Amazing amounts of money in the Premier League now.
Yeah, and to think that in 1992, when Ron Nodes and I did, the late one, no, do you know, did the first surreptitious deal with Sky on Sunday morning in Rupert Murdoch's penthouse apartment overlooking Green Park. We asked for 15 million. We got 50 million up from the ITV paying 11. So we thought we were so clever getting 50 million. Now, bloody hell, 3.5 billion. It just shows how times have changed. And also, far more professional marketing. So I think that the Premier League ought to be complimented under the leadership of Richard Scudamore for very good marketing and realising the big money in Asia, which is where a lot of the cash is coming from. It's just a pity it is what Alan Sugar once described as prune juice. He said you pour the TV money at the top and it comes out the bottom into players' pockets. And that's what it's proving to be, players and agents.
Yeah, you sort of wonder, and everybody sort of thinks, KB, you know, when will it end? Because the TV deals have just got bigger and bigger and bigger. There must be. I can't imagine Sky are going to be paying even more for the next one, but I suppose it's all down to how much revenue they gain from subscriptions and advertising. But can it get any bigger?
Well, yes, but you have to remember that I'm not sure I'm totally correct, but I think overseas TV rights, which are sold individually, probably are nearly as much, if not exceed, what Sky and BT pay for. You have to remember that in the old days, you used to find an agent who sold all the games worldwide. But then they got savvy and bought in. They now sell to individual countries their rights. Right, so China pays differently, pays independently of Burma, Malaysia, Australia, India, and the European rights are different from the non-European rights. So there's an awful lot. English football is very, very popular, and it's from a TV company's point of view, it's cheap programming. Just pick up the feed and stick it out. So they may be paying more for the actual rights, the delivery of the rights, so it's cheaper. And of course you've got the whole South American continent, which is mad about soccer. The Americans are increasingly promoting soccer as against baseball and their national football. So I think it should continue to grow. The only downside on this, of course, is that clubs are spending more and more money on players, usually foreign players, to the detriment of the youngsters, the young English players, who simply don't get a chance because the danger of losing your Premiership place is so damaging financially that clubs at the lower end, particularly who are in danger of relegation, spend wildly and indiscriminately trying to stay up. And it's also distorting the Championship, because when you've got half the clubs getting compensation payments, parachute payments, as I think they're called now, that gives those clubs far more money than the ordinary Championship competitors who have not been in the Premier League. So the Football League, the Championship, is becoming a sort of two separate leagues within one. Is also worrying because you tend to get the same clubs changing places all the time. But at the moment, that's not to say it's happening at the moment, because of course you have clubs like Leeds, Wolves, Aston Villa, big clubs struggling to get back in the Premiership. And of course you've always got one or two surprises like Brighton, Hansblew. But somebody should set up a committee to examine the long-term effects of how this TV money is spent. And the other disadvantage with the Football League, particularly now that they're planning to split up their packages and sell more, is the traditional 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon kickoff is becoming an exception rather than the general condition. I think that is damaging fans, hurting them quite hard, because games are being, if your team's drawn to play away midweek, then you have the problem, if you want to watch support your team, basically you've got to take a day off, at least a day off work, and the boss might not like it, there's so many grandmother's funerals you can go to. But what's more important, it hits them in the pocket as well. And also the problem is you've got Newcastle playing Swansea away on a Thursday night. That's a hell of a cross-country journey. And with the trains running as they do, or as they don't these days, more often than not, how the hell are they going to get back? Unless you're going to have the revival of the coaches for away fans. So I think the Football League and the Premier League are going to be a bit careful how far they go, because otherwise they'll be playing to half-empty stadia. And maybe the TV money should reflect in the admission prices and give a break, particularly for kids and old-age pensioners. So there are lots of aspects to be considered in long term because of the unexpected knock-on effects that can sometimes affect these decisions.
Well, KB, moving on, if there's anything else you wanted to chat about this morning, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I suppose we've got continuing Brexit. And continuing economic downturn, allegedly. We keep hearing Mr. Corbyn getting more and more excited with all these figures that the Corbynistas are trotting up with little or no facts to back them up. And I think that it's causing a detrimental effect on employers who, unlike Mr. Corbyn and his merry men, who don't create any work or wealth, affecting the entrepreneurs who are having to try and plan the long term. And I think the problem is when you're negotiating these things, you've got to do it behind closed doors. You can't negotiate on a TV platform show or something like that. And unfortunately, the will of the people ruled they wanted us to leave Europe, which has now been nicknamed Brexit. And there are certain people in Parliament, in all parties, not so late, but some Remainers in the Tory party as well, are trying to undermine or minimise the rights of the people to decide what they want. And this is causing an effect on the government because they can't disclose their hands at the poker game. So they have to listen to all these insults and inaccurate reports going out. We have to sort of grin and bear it, which isn't the best thing. I see this morning on TV, Mrs. Sturgeon, the haggis basher, has met the chief negotiator of the EC in respect to Brexit. And so Mrs. Sturgeon, never missing a chance to have a mug on the TV screen, seen her shaking hands and smiling and leading him into a room. But why isn't he meeting the leader of the West Yorkshire County Council? Because Yorkshire is a much bigger population than Scotland. And why isn't he going to meet Wales, the Welsh leader? Why isn't he going to meet the leader of Northern Ireland? Fact of the matter is, he's gaining himself cheap publicity, but it generally gives him the feeling, or could give him the feeling, misplaced feeling of self-confidence that he's going to get the Brexit he wants. And that may be misunderstanding. They are. The government's got a lot to do. And despite being undermined at every possible opportunity, and dissensions within the Tory party itself. They always said that Brexit would be a bumpy ride. I didn't realise that some of the passengers would be trying to let the tyres down at the same time. Meanwhile, how's season ticket going? That's more interesting. How's season ticket going at Leeds? Do we know?
I think they're going quite well, KB. There's a lot of positivity around Elland Road at the moment.
Good. And don't forget, I've tried to contact him without success so far. If somebody should point out to the new owner, he wants to redevelop the land around Elland Road. Well, he's got a fully designed, fully approved planning permission. All the drawings will be done, all the details and specifications have been done. And then if they haven't been dumped by GFH, the horrible Arabs, and there should be some in the office somewhere. Should get those out and examine them, see if they fit in with his ideas. Could save him a lot of time and a lot of money.
KB, as ever, always a pleasure. And we'll catch up with you at the same time next week.
Thank you much. Good luck to everybody. And good luck, boys, on your tour.